Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight the Age of Heroes unfolds and the quest for optimal wellness continues on Herculean Physique with Michael DeRussi of Bold Spirits Holistic Concepts. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you tonight?
Fine, and it's good to be with all of you.
Same here. How have you been?
We're doing pretty well, thank you. And how have you been doing?
I've been wrestling with a cough. So today I finally got some antibiotics. The doctor should knock it out of my system. It's this persistent cough that's been going around, and I've had it on and off for like the past 6 weeks. So it lasted for quite a while.
Does the medication seem to be helping you?
Well, I just got the medication this evening, so I took the first dose.
Oh, okay.
But the doctor said it's been going around. And in truth, a lot of people I've talked to that I haven't seen in a while, they've also described the same symptoms. So it must be something spreading far and wide.
Really? That's interesting. I haven't heard anything about it yet.
I'm glad you were spared.
Well, so far, but these days, nothing surprises me these days. And we're seeing new and varied challenges to our health to this we haven't been familiar with. I heard 2 weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago maybe, there's something going around with dogs. You may have heard this. There's a respiratory condition of some kind which has yet to be defined. That's affecting dogs, affecting their lungs. They also, curiously enough, develop a cough, respiratory symptoms very similar to what we experience. They haven't been able to determine what it is or the cause yet, but they're suggesting that all animal lovers, all dog owners, not have their dogs circulate, if you will, or play with other dogs, like in a dog,
right.
Kennel or a playground, what have you, until they're able to more clearly understand what this is. So now you're telling me that something's going on with humans too. So,
yes.
We just don't know. It's amazing that we see these, just when you think you've seen it all in this day and age, new and varied conditions pop up somehow. Incredible, but this is what we're facing.
Yep.
I'd like to share some insights if I can.
Sure.
I think one of the definitions, one of the meanings of the Golden Fleece, and there's multiple meanings as we know, is kingship and authority. And I think one of my personal callings for the rest of my time here on this planet, on this earth plane, if you will, is to uncover every month the latest research on diet, nutrition, and supplementation, with an emphasis on target nutrients to help prevent and combat degenerative disease. I do not take a path of insistence that my beliefs are the only ones, the only one answer, rather, to a healthy living. Rather, I look for valid research containing nutrients that have been shown to show real results in combating disease, but that are not being talked about, if you will, by mainstream media, conventional medical practitioners, or mainstream researchers. I always advise listeners to do their own research, then utilize both logical and creative mind to make their own decisions. I call this the wisdom of the hemispheres, path to living, and I believe that this, along with positive dominant thoughts, is what super consciousness or God destined us to do. This is where we make it happen, each in our own time, each in our own way. My affirmation for all of us is that something we share here will help someone to extend their journey in terms of a healthy, strong environment. And may it always be so. That's my wish. That's my calling since, I guess, the age of 17, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 71 now, and I still believe in it. I believe once we leave the doctor's office, once we've been told that we're dealing with a challenging condition, once we've been treated conventionally with a challenging condition, I think that's where our own personal research comes in. I was saying to someone only today, you know, when you're treated with conventional therapy for a degenerative illness and the therapy is for all intents and purposes concluded, I hope to see a day when our personal physician will say, now, when you go home, meet the challenge of stimulating your immune response and creating a healthy immune system as much as possible. And that a suggestion would be made in terms of supplement and diet, how they can go about doing this. I hope to see that day. I think that would be a very progressive way to go in terms of caring for ourselves. Encourage each and every patient, okay, how can you stimulate your immune system? How can we strengthen our immune response? Here's what I would like to see you do. It's a very simple conversation to have, and I think that would be one method of really moving forward when it comes to creating a healthier you. As amazing as it may seem, most conventional practitioners I'm familiar with, and I'm blessed with a very good one, but most won't tell you that. You'll have to more or less petition them. Doctor, what else can I do? What can I do now at home? Is there something I can do naturally that will help me to combat this condition? It's too bad the patient has to more or less petition this information. But again, you know, it comes to even holistic physicians, quite frankly, are remiss here. Based on my own personal experience, they don't take the initiative to let the patient know there is something else you can do, notwithstanding what you may be dealing with, and that is nutritional supplementation and diet, and that field of environment can change the whole landscape in terms of not only what we're living with, but how long we live. So I think it's something as simple as it sounds, is something that I think is sorely needed. Hopefully in the near future, that will happen.
I hope so as well. Because medicine is changing fast, we have a wider range of choices in terms of alternative medicine, there really is no excuse not to become familiar with the terrain as much as possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the time is there. The opportunity is there. And that's why tonight, part one, I wanted to share some concepts that are contained in my Creative Health Manual. I think what I like about it, and I continue to go back to it, is some information included in the manual involves the entire holistic environment of mind, body, and spirit. And I really like that, and I think it's a valuable tool for creating that kind of environment in your personal and your everyday life to engender a healthier you. I think it's a concise publication covering multiple aspects of achieving holistic health. There's a section on essential oils. There's a section on a variety of herbal remedies that what I've liked about it is I've kept it short and concise, where the reader can always go further and utilize other research material to delve deeper into these specific areas. There's a section on the biomarkers of aging, how many professional medical people are going to share that with you, not too many. There's a section on the sugar diseases and the natural alternatives that may help to combat and avoid them. There's the natural therapies for lowering cholesterol. There's a section on aging of the skin and what we might do to slow that process down. And there's a diet that we personally recommend as that we feel is most beneficial for optimal performance and keeping inflammation low in the body. All of this is contained in the manual. I think it's beautifully done. And
yes,
I just want to share I want to share some areas with the listeners today that I think are fairly interesting. And want to have a short history of holistic therapies, vitamin therapies, and the difference that they've made. And I'd just like to share some of that with the listeners because I think it's important. Serious deficiency of the B vitamins, particularly in the South, was caused among poor Southerners and slaves who depended on a corn diet to survive. The results were dementia, skin disorders, severe aches and pains. Only after two researchers persisted in their work did overwhelming evidence indicate a deficiency in B vitamins was caused by both pellagra, a deficiency in niacin, and beriberi, which was a deficiency in vitamin B1. In the 18th century, English sailors were plagued with bleeding gums, falling teeth, and early death. The medical establishment, opposing the view of a few dedicated researchers, continued to look for a virus or bacteria as a cause. Eventually, the truth became known, and that truth was vitamin C deficiency. That was the culprit. The condition was known as scurvy. Rickets was a scourge from medieval times through the dark days of the Industrial Revolution well into the 20th century. It resulted in thousands of deformed children. It took years for the medical establishment to agree with creative thinking researchers that the lack of vitamin D was the culprit. In every case, it was the forward-thinking, broad view of medical researchers that saved the day. They knew that nature could play a big role in preventing and curing these serious conditions. They refused to submit to conventional influences, which at the time thought only drugs and surgery could offer cures. It was a holistic thinking of these medical rebels that ultimately saved thousands of lives. And that's the historical research done, and which is included in my Creative Health Manual. And I think that just this opening piece here is, for me anyway, very stimulating, and in terms of just showing the basics of researchers, and these researchers, many of them did not have medical diplomas, by the way, did their work, these natural remedies to cure some of these seriously debilitating conditions. So I think that's remarkable when you go back and look at this history.
I agree with you.
Another thing I'd like to share, which I've been a vegan in my life. I've been, I guess, a vegan 40 years now. However, having been that, I do believe in the Blue Zone diet. I believe in the Atkins diet. I subscribe to the diet and, that the Dr.
Ornish,
Dr. Ornish continues to utilize in his research. And I also believe in the DASH diet, which is very, very familiar to with the Dr. Dean Ornish diet. And I also think that in the case of heart disease, cancer, the American Medical the American Heart Association and the National Cancer Institute are on the money when they talk about a diet that's, yes, low in simple sugars, but also one that's low in saturated fat. However, having said all that, even though I myself do not consume animal products, I've always believed and still believe basically on the research that's recently been uncovered, I do believe in glandular therapy. And a glandular therapy, and this goes along with what I've just shared with the listeners in terms of nutritional therapy in general. Glandular therapy refers to the use of glandular preparations, usually from bovine or sheep source, to improve or restore the function of a diseased or distressed organ. Glandular medicines are all usually dried, ground up glandular tissue that contain hormones as well as other important trace substances, which such as natural cell stimulators. The most common glandular medicines, including ones made from adrenal, brain, thyroid, thymus, pituitary, kidney, liver, heart, pancreas, and prostate, spleen, and the uterus. Glandular therapy is a form of natural medicine that uses animal organs or glands to treat certain medical conditions. The theory behind it is that the hormones, enzymes, antibodies, and other substances found in the animal organ tissues will act as a catalyst for healing similar issues in humans. This, of course, goes right along with the law of similars, which we know that not only exists in nutritional life, but in our thought life as well. This type of therapy has been used for hundreds of years, and this is so true, by the way, worldwide, but has recently become more popular due to advances in technology. While some studies have shown promise for using glandular therapy to improve certain health conditions, further research is ongoing. Studies show that the type of therapy can help with autoimmune disease, reproductive health concerns, and mental health issues, digestive disorders, and many other ailments. This one research group called Sunridge Medical specializes in glandular therapy and ongoing research in that area. And they indicate that although glandular therapy dates back thousands of years, newer research suggests that the administration of glandular medications improved the function of the organ from which the extract was made. For example, during the last 15 years, several research centers have been studying the effect of thymus peptide extracts on the immune system, as it is well known clinically that thymus extract have an immune modulating effects. In Europe, thymus extracts have been a very popular addition to cancer treatments. And I know this was true in some areas in the United States back about 20 years ago. So even though I personally avoid animal products, generally speaking, I do believe that glandular supplements can be very effective based on the law of similars. I do believe that the like treats like is very real. I was talking a moment ago about the 18th century when English sailors were dealing with the deficiency in vitamin C. Sailors during that time who suffered from kidney malfunction, liver issues, were given organ meats instinctually by their fellow sailors or what have you, and their conditions improved. So I think there is validity here. On a personal level, I would not recommend overconsumption of organ meats dietarily. But I do believe utilizing organ meats in terms of supplementation, dry, purified, heated, I do believe they have some benefits. I know back in the 1970s, when bodybuilding, the popularity of bodybuilding was on the increase, one of the big supplements being used at that time and being endorsed readily was liver supplements. Desiccated liver was used by many bodybuilders during that time with the belief that overall could provide energy, could provide all of the B-complex vitamins needed to lengthen, help them to lengthen their training sessions and build muscle in general. So I know desiccated liver was very popular amongst bodybuilders back in the 70s. And I do believe that glandular therapy can be effective in stimulating your overall metabolism and immune response. So I would recommend individuals to consider utilizing glandular therapy depending on their nutritional goals. So I just wanted to add that along with everything else I just shared in terms of the history of natural medicine and holistic therapies in general. And I don't know if you remember those days, but desiccated liver at one time, it was a big deal in the world of bodybuilding. So I also wanted to go cover, if I can, also in my Creative Health Manual, I have a section that indicating the five key mechanisms of aging. And I deal with oxidative stress, and I'll define those. This releases free radicals that burn cells and tissues. They damage the DNA, cell membranes, and trigger dangerous inflammation. Membrane damage of the cells and their internal organs disrupts cellular structure and communication. DNA damage and fail to produce working proteins and can lose control of cell replication. Inflammation, chronic inflammation, damages almost every component of cells and organs. And last but not least, glycation are proteins and fats that become glycated when sugar molecules bind to them. Glycated molecules function abnormally and trigger oxidation inflammation, and that we've known for some time. So it's probably advantageous to try to avoid the whole the system of glycation, and that happens when we burn fats and we eat burnt toast, as an example, something I surely didn't know 20 years ago, can really set off an inflammatory response in the body. So glycation should be something we should be aware of. So burnt fats and burnt carbohydrates are another area we might want to look at a little more closely when it comes to our daily diet.
I remember the desiccated liver day as well. I remember that and protein powders were a big part of my early bodybuilding diet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, heavy cream and cream and protein powder, which
and
is at the time.
And liver supplement.
Absolutely. That was probably the most popular muscle building supplements of that time, I would imagine, from a natural standpoint. So the next area we go to, which I think is interesting, is very simplified, but disease fighting and life extension strategies. This is also included in my Creative Health Manual. Eat a diet of mainly raw enzyme-rich foods. Enzymes, I think, are vitally important. A doctor who is no longer with us, but pioneered this therapy many years, I think he passed away, I think 3 years, Dr. Nick Gonzalez, was very well known right here in New York City for regressing many, many forms of cancer. And one of his modalities was high doses of digestive enzymes throughout the day. Digestive enzymes had a remarkable effect in both reducing inflammation and slowing the growth of almost every cancer he treated. Conventional therapists and physicians tried to discredit him. They ultimately failed because dozens of his patients came forward in testimony that along with antioxidants and dietary restrictions, the use of digestive enzymes not only before eating but throughout the day were critical in his work in terms of slowing the growth of almost every kind of cancer he treated. So I also do believe that everyone, including people like myself who may have specific digestive issues, which I do, include plenty of digestive enzymes in their program. I like the ones that Life Extension manufacture and put forth, but almost any reputable supplement producer has digestive enzymes on their menu. So I would encourage everyone, whether you're suffering digestive issues or you're not, that digestive enzymes before eating, if you're dealing with a certain condition, you might want to do your research and consider throughout the day upping your intake of digestive enzymes because they definitely do have healing qualities. I think adopting mainly a vegetarian diet with the exception of fish, and of course, this is a very personal choice. It's something I believe in. I believe in the blue zone concept. Basically, blue zones are areas in different parts of the world that exist mainly on small amounts of fish, very small amounts of meat, and mainly beans, natural carbohydrates, plenty of fruits and vegetables. And we know that right up until the moment I speak, actually, the incidence of degenerative disease, for the most part, heart disease, cancer, are much lower in these parts of the world. So they're called the blue zones. There's no evidence over the last 60 years to change that a conclusion in terms of research, notwithstanding what the high-fat keto crowd may say. The research remains strong in this area. Maintaining mostly an alkaline diet of fruits and vegetables, dumb beans and fat-free dairy products, acid-forming foods are animal fats, oils, cereals, and grains, starchy foods, nuts and beans, meats, poultry, and organ meats. Now, beans and cereals are thrown into this mix. Yes, they do produce acids, but acids that are much less inflammable, if you will, than the animal fats and burnt carbohydrates. So of all of them, the lesser of the evils, if you will, are the grains and the beans and the nuts, which are actually very healthy. But yes, they do produce some level of acid. I had an interesting experience this last week. I had a colonoscopy and an endoscopy in the same day. I really liked my gastroenterologist. This was the first time that I met him. I liked him. He's a man in his middle 40s, I guess. And after I had my tests, I spoke to him about some of my concepts and theories and my own personal research. And I mentioned this on this program about 3 months ago, and that's why I'd like to mention it again here.
Sure.
I talked to him about the rate of colon cancer. And the rate of colon cancer that seems to be increasing dramatically amongst the young. And gastroenterologists are shaking their heads. They really don't understand it. But individuals in their late 20s and early 30s are actually being diagnosed. So I shared my concepts with him. I said, "Doctor, I have a theory. I could be wrong. This seems to parallel the high-fat fad that has been sweeping the country over the last 10 years minimum, the keto, the Atkins, some of the other diets that are mainly, and physicians, by the way, holistic physicians, that are indicating, and I read an article only the other day, fat is not the culprit. Fat is not the issue. Don't worry about fat." And I said, "You know, you have parents that are telling their teenage kids, don't worry about fat. Fat's no longer a problem. But go, you know, have your cheeseburger." Could there be a correlation here? And now this is a young man, I'd say he's probably between 45, 48, very enthusiastic, very well read. He said, "Absolutely." He said, "I agree with you." He said, "I think there is a parallel." He said, the obesity problem in this country is not diminishing in spite of these diets that you mentioned. He said, and yes, he said, "I think saturated fat is still a major problem." He said, "I agree with you." He said there could very well be a correlation. And immediately, I mean, my antennas were up and I was listening to everything he had to say, because a few months ago, right here on this broadcast, I had speculated with you that possible that this high-fat fad, that fat is no longer a danger, everything, all the danger comes from sugar. Could there be a correlation between that and what we're seeing in the higher rates of colon cancer amongst the young? He agreed wholeheartedly with me. He said it can very well be an issue. He said fat is still a problem. He said the consumption of fat in itself is a problem. He said, yes. He said, but you're right. He said, all the time I was talking to him, he was on the computer researching like crazy. He said, I believe there is. I said, I agree with you. He said, I think there is a correlation. And so I said to myself, I think there is too. So what's happening is very, I said this a few years ago, what's happening here is very dangerous. We've gone over the edge. We've gone over the edge. Sugar, 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 sugar. So now you can eat all the steaks, pork chops, bacon you want. Don't worry. There's no problem there. No problem. I saw a physician on Christian TV talking about how you can live longer, how can you extend your diet. And the host of the program said, "Well, what would you recommend, doctor?" Well, processed foods should be eliminated from your diet. You should be eating fruits and vegetables, but not one word about the the dangers that still exist on the consumption of saturated fats. And I said to myself, here we are again, just like our political parties. Mainstream media leads the way. They take us by the rope and lead us right over the cliff. Not one word. Now, these are medical professionals. Not one word about saturated fat or the dangers that still exist in animal fat, which have been shown conclusively for over 60 years. You know, forgive me. But there comes a point where you just you disgusted with the whole
right.
the whole picture. You're really, because you see it in politics, you see it in our health, you see it in the mainstream media. You can no longer. I can see why people say, you know what? I'm bailing out. No one is dealing with objective mind when it comes to sharing with the population what they really need to know. I've said consistently, yes, white sugar is a problem, no question. But I'm going to be 72. In all of my years in this field, I haven't seen one case of heart disease or gastric cancers, as an example, that was caused mainly by the overconsumption of sugar. It's always been the overconsumption of meat and dairy products. Processed meats are also a danger. And it's scary. It's scary because millions of people out there are taking mainstream media at their word. Millions of individuals out there are taking doctors who appear on these programs at their word, word for word, as if they know it all. The truth is none of us know it all. You know, holistic medicine, like everything else, is a growing field. You know, it's never done. Your research is never done. So I was very, very pleased that my doctor agreed with me, and his research seems to be also aligning itself with the possibility that there is a connection here. The young people are developing colon cancer at a rate that we haven't seen before in this country. So it's unfortunate because as we speak, many of our young people are going out there and eating, and their parents are probably telling them, well, if you want to lose weight, you go on keto. Want to lose weight, don't worry so much about the animal fat. Just avoid the sugar. Yes, have the hamburger, have the cheeseburger. And there's not one area of consideration, the fact that there's a deleterious environment going on here. So, you know, it's, again, you know, objective thinking in this country is at a premium right now, in my opinion. And I don't care what you're talking about. When you're talking about medicine, healing, politics, objective thinking is at a premium. And God forbid you should be express an area of some independence in your thinking. Even if you have science, whether it be political science or whatever, to back you up, if you're not amongst the mass thinkers, if you're not amongst the populace in terms of what they're believing at the time, it's an uphill battle. It doesn't matter how many lives you affect positively. And quite frankly, from my personal perspective, it's sickening. Geniuses like Nikola Tesla, who died in poverty in a motel room, and he said to his mom, I spent my life trying to change the lives of others for the better, and this is how I wind up. Those were his, I believe, his last words to his mother before he died. You know, and you know as well as I do, those of us who have pioneered progressive thinking and arcane sciences, if you will, that have a positive effect on our lives, how we've many times been looked down upon, or the sciences that we've researched have not been taken seriously, although they're being taken more serious now, I'm happy to say, in some areas. So it's disconcerting, to say the least. But this is what we're dealing with.
We're dealing with, I bring this up a lot, we're dealing with contradictory information. Like, for instance, right now it's this controversy with leptins. It's been going on for a while. How healthy are beans, basically? And you have physicians on both sides of that argument who have equally impressive credentials and published equally impressive papers, basically selling different versions and different sides of the argument. And if you're not a physician, if physicians can't agree, how can you ferret out the truth? And I find this a lot in my own particular journey, that I'll explore a particular way, and some of the ways turn out to be dangerous. Like I gave myself diabetes, I believe, because I was exploring pre-steroid bodybuilding diets. And they were very heavy in milk, and you had to drink like a gallon or a gallon and a half of milk a day, and you had to eat a lot of oranges. So that made my blood sugar content very high for very long, because I stayed on a diet for about a year. And the results of that diet were, until everything came crashing and burning, were pretty good. I was big and I was strong, and I hadn't looked that muscular in quite a while. And yet, within a year and a few months after starting the diet, I started falling downstairs and basically lost all the muscles that I gained on it. So again, I followed the health advice of people who got big without steroids, but I caused myself a lot of damage in the interim.
Yeah, and that's a classic example there, what you're giving, and that's why. And look, and you can't blame yourself too much, because I remember those days very well, and that was a very popular diet. And those who went on that diet, they did indeed get built bigger, stronger, you know. But we didn't know what, at that time, no one could predict what might lie down the road in terms of overall good health. So, but yeah, but that was a very popular diet, pioneered at that time during the 70s and the 80s. So you're absolutely right. It was considered the golden age at that day, at that time. And people like Rick Drayson and Vince Gironda, amongst others, but the pioneer of that diet, I believe, was a gentleman by the name of Rio Blair. In fact, he put out his own protein supplements, Rio Blair. He was a real pioneer of that concept. And, yeah, they followed his program, which was heavy cream and protein powder. And I think liver supplements were also involved at that time.
Yes.
But he probably didn't even realize there might be a price to be paid down the road.
But what can you do? We all make the best decisions we can based on the information that we choose to believe. And the same thing with the Atkins diet and the keto type of diets. I'm finding, because I've experimented with them and I had good results, that short term they have a good result. But if you continue on them, then you don't get good results, and you may develop other problems.
Well, I can only say that in my lifetime, and you never know, quite frankly, and when you get to this stage of your life, you don't know how long the Lord is going to let you hang around. But I could say, and there's no guarantees no matter what you do. It's just like, let's take cancer as an example. No matter what you do, there are no guarantees, but there are things that you you can do based on your own personal research and what your insight and instincts are telling you, that may lower your risk of developing the disease. In my lifetime, heart disease still till this day has been caused mainly by the overconsumption of animal fats and animal products, and saturated fat has been the main cause of most heart disease in this country. I have seen no evidence to change that conclusion. I see no evidence. And like one doctor said, I thought he was right on the money. He said, I don't see anywhere on this planet that says a diet high in fat extends longevity. I have never seen a study. You may lose weight. No question, you may lose weight for a short period of time because of the ketosis and all of that. Burning fat, muscle tissue, burning fat tissue, rather, than what he's seen in the short term. But he said, I've never seen a study that indicates that the dominant consumption of animal fat extends longevity. And you know something? I don't think I certainly couldn't have said it better. But I've seen plenty of studies over the decades to indicate without a doubt that a diet higher in natural fiber, fruits and vegetables, and a low, much lower consumption of animal fat lessens your chances to develop some of these diseases and extends longevity. I've seen plenty of studies to indicate that. So you know what? Again, it's as you said, it's what we're told. And we have to, I believe that all of our intuition is the, of a divine nature. I think each of us is another voice. I believe there's a super consciousness there. We know we have the conscious mind, which is, conscious mind is exposed to everything on a day-to-day, minute-by-minute basis. We have the subconscious mind that tells us things, and that whereas our imagination and our own creativity lies if we choose to think right. And then we have the superconscious mind, whatever you want to call it. And there's many spiritual groups out there that call it all different things, whether it be God, Yahweh, Elohim. But I think superconscious is a good term. There's a universal consciousness I think we're plugged into, we're connected to. Where there is creation, I think there has to be a creator. I go back to what your dad, you mentioned many times, your dad believed. I think New Thought so beautifully simplifies the whole picture. I love the way New Thought spirituality, I love it. It simplifies everything, that we're all, regardless of the religions we were raised in, the denomination, we're all connected to one great source. And it's within and without in every area of our third dimensional existence. I think that explains it beautifully. And all we have to do is, one of the things we can do is open our minds to receive. A great author at that time, I don't know if she's still with us, Catherine Ponder. She wrote a book, Opening Your Mind to Receive. And simply, you know, think the right thoughts as much as possible. I do believe in affirmative prayer. I do believe there is science to back up and validate the law of attraction. I don't think it works the way we want it to, but I've seen now evidence in my own life. It does work. It does work if we keep that, the law of similars. Just like as we were talking earlier about the glandular therapy. That's fascinating. You know, gland helps gland. Gland assists gland. Your liver isn't working well. Taking liver supplements may very well help that issue. Well, the law of similars, obviously, there's a science behind it, and I think the same is true in terms of our thinking, the way we think.
I believe the same, and again, I just thought it was my father's way of thinking, but it was very valid, I found, and then I discovered New Thought through my reading. And then I saw that these were very American as well as very timeless beliefs. And they're very well suited to our conditioning as Americans, because they value individuality, they value initiative, they value positivity. So I'm a big fan of New Thought. I have a vast New Thought library.
Yes, there were so many great authors and researchers from Emmett Fox to Ernest Holmes. Ernest Holmes, Atkinson was a... Yes. So, you know, we, some great thinkers, absolutely believe that positive thought can change your life. And there's plenty of evidence to validate that. So I do believe that this is, I was talking to some spiritual people the other day, and I like where I've come from, because there was a time, and I was not born again. It was not a great experience, religious experience that I had. It was an arduous journey from existentialism, probably back in the early 80s, to this point in time where I said to myself, I'm going to give the concept of God another chance. It wasn't my personal life. I had struggles like everybody does. It was really an intellectual decision. I felt as though I didn't give the God possibility a real chance. Uh-huh. So it's been all of these years getting to this point to realize that there's no question. There is a source. And then when I, of course, discovered the possibilities involved in quantum physics, where thought can actually, and the activities of the observer can determine where your atomic particles go in terms of how they appear, that really lit a fire. And so I said to myself, well, then in reality, we have an effect on the nature of reality in terms of mass and form, our thoughts, our observations, who we are. So we are, in some ways, co-creators of our own reality. And there was one time I scoffed at that. I said, what do you mean co-creator? What is that? I had people that I was involved with who were metaphysicians. I said, well, what do you mean co-creators? God is still in charge. God is still in charge. But I do believe we're plugged into that source. And I believe that great avatars, Jesus being the main one, taught, I mean, very, very, very specifically. There's some teachings you can't put a spin on. And I feel he was trying to teach very specifically that, well, he was a multidimensional being, but so are we. There's an invisible world that's just teeming with activity all around us. If we're thinking right and we're relaxed, we're meditating, we're affirming, we can open ourselves up to that other reality if we make the effort. It's just like anything else. So I think Jesus came to teach us, one of the things he came to teach, that we are multidimensional beings. We know there's a spiritual activity all around us, but we just have to open our channels to receive. And that, for some of us, me being one of them, admittedly, it was an arduous journey to get to this point. And I'm glad that I did. And it's exciting to hear that you have a large New Thought library, because I think a New Thought library can be very stimulating and yet very simple. You know, it's not about all these avatars that are talking to us. It's not about 45 different St. Michaels. It's not about aliens that are talking to us on one end and St. Michaels talking to us. It's the new thought is so simply put, so beautifully taught. And I think that's what we need, especially as we get older, the simplicity of our creation, that we are multidimensional and our thoughts mean things. And I think that's the two major lessons we come away with when we talk about New Thought.
Yes, and New Thought, again, democratizes it and removes a lot of the tribalism that they'll sometimes present things in terms of Christianity, sometimes in terms of Buddhism or Hinduism or, whatever. And you can go your own path and realize that the masks that you choose to or that you accept of the divine presences is just that. It's just a mask. And then beyond it, something beyond your cultural concepts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And unfortunately, I mean, and it's just true worldwide. I mean, denominational thinking is, we only have to look at what's happening in the Middle East. We know there's a lot of, there's many, many reasons, supposedly many reasons why this tragedy is taking place. But it's all about denominational commitment, denominational rule, if you will. And the difference is in, I mean, there has to be one source behind all things. There has to be one monotheistic something, creative design behind all things. Now, yes, there's many throughout history that are divinely touched in some way, more than I would ever be. That other essence that speaks through them and bless them for that. I bless them for that. I only wish I was possessed of all of the secrets that may be coming their way. But they have opened themselves up to this. They know how to do it perhaps better than I do. But at the end of the day, the source is the source. And when you're amongst individuals, no matter who they are, Muslims, Buddhists, Christians, you're amongst people who are really believing, something comes upon you. Even if you're not connected with their beliefs, because the sincerity, the energy, the pure spiritual energy that they emanate, I think it's contagious. And I have found this as well. That source is suddenly overwhelming you as you watch them worship, as you watch how they partake in their very heartfelt rituals. and beliefs that they are connected to the source. But it's at the end of the day, we're all one. Is we're all one. That same energy, that same spark of life animates all of us. And I hope someday we'll get to the point where new thought, spirituality, we will plainly see is really the answer. And it's such a simple answer. You know, we know there's an invisible world. We know spirit activity is real. We know that there's an invisible world parallel to us, which now may even explain the existence of UFOs, other dimensions that previously I never took seriously, frankly. But now we have to. But at the end of the day, there's one creative source mind behind all things. And that's why I also believe, along with New Thought, pantheism goes hand in hand. Because pantheism teaches basically the same thing, that God is in, around, and through everything. And of course, we look again to the basic foundation of the existence that we're familiar with, mainly the protons, neutrons, and electrons, to affirm that. So again, it's a bit like when we're building a house. You're building a house. There's certain elements of the foundation you know that you'll need. Well, there you are. There's the foundation to this existence. So it's the one source. And I get excited about it even now because I think New Thought material takes us back to where we should be, you know, acknowledging that we're all connected to one great universal consciousness, which is within and at the same time beyond our understanding. And I think pantheism teaches that as well, that this one source is in and around all things, but it can react to our thoughts. That in itself is exciting. You know, I don't need 15 avatars to teach me that this lesson, that this is an exciting reality, that this source can all things, you know. So it's the simple way of saying, yeah, we're connected, all right. We are connected to a universal consciousness, and that in itself is glorious.
Yeah, I've shared this story a lot, but through my own meditations and my contemplations and so forth, you eventually come to the conclusion that everything is one and that you're God. And then the next thought, the very next thought is you can't not be God, that everyone and everything else is God too. So it's not it's not something that puffs up your ego. It's something that makes you truly humble because you realize that everything is part of the source and everything is divine.
Absolutely. That's very well said. Very well said. And that essence is in us. And the problem is, of course, we don't call upon it. We don't develop it. We have to reach out. You know, we have to reach out or reach within as well as without and take advantage of the fact that divinity is within all of us. So let's stop the denominational the futility of the debating, you know, in terms of denomination and what the beliefs may be. The source communicates with us in many different ways, individual to individual. At the end of the day, New Thought, I feel, explains it beautifully, along with the pantheistic concept that we know it's there. We know it's one source behind all things. But everything else is just added benefit, is added wisdom, is added knowledge. So I think you explained that beautifully.
as did you. You did a really great job of introducing it. I want to apologize. Today, I wasn't able to participate as much because I was really like coughing. Some of them got caught on the air. I wasn't able to mute it fast enough, but I really had a rough hour. So again, I apologize. But we're going to be doing more shows on this topic, and you're very eloquent and knowledgeable. So be prepared to be asked to be a guest or co-host on those shows.
I'd be honored. I'd be honored to participate. And I do hear the call. If I'm concerned, I hope that it improves. I also will say my client, my patient, has also developed a very severe cough just this week. I asked him if he feels all right, and of course he says he does. But he, in fact, as I'm speaking to you right now, I hear him downstairs coughing. So, and this is just this past week. So I don't know what exactly is happening.
The doctor said that it's been going around, and she said that basically what knocks it out is antibiotics and steroid. And then she recommended some over-the-counter things I could also take to take care of the mucus problem, because there's a problem with like phlegm. You can't spit it out, so you start choking on when you're coughing a lot of times. So I'm going to follow the regimen exactly as you prescribed it. Nothing I've done in terms of the herbal teas that usually work or the over-the-counter medications that usually work and knock things out pretty quickly. I've tried them all over the past 6 weeks, and nothing seems to work. So I'm going to give this a try, and hopefully she's right, and by next week it'll be gone.
Absolutely. You know, we don't want to play around. We know that conventional as well as natural medicine sometimes are needed to remedy an issue, remedy a problem. But, yes, my client is also experiencing a cough the past week, and I think I'm going to have his family pick up some, take him to the doctor, pick up some medication for him.
My wife had the same thing. She went to a different doctor, and she wasn't prescribed the exact same things, but similar enough. So there seems to be at least some agreement amongst conventional doctors on how to treat this.
Quickly, I want to ask, is it congestion mostly in the upper throat, or are you experiencing congestion that in the chest as well? Can you describe it?
With me and with my wife, it's been mostly around the throat and the upper respiratory tract, the upper chest.
That's the way it sounds with my client, as a matter of fact. It sounds like it's the upper throat area.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, keep us posted. I know that you're feeling better. You do so much good here, and what your program does in releasing wisdom that otherwise may never be tapped into or available to us. It's priceless. So, please stay well and keep us posted how you're doing.
Thank you, and I hope that your client improves as well. And how can people enter your world, Michael? It's such a wonderful world. You're creative. Yeah. You're very much focused on the good of the many, and always searching for ways to improve not only your life but the lives of those around you.
Well, thank you so much. That's very kind of you to say that. They can order my Creative Health Manual, which I think is an invaluable addition to their health library. It's for $10, check or money order to Michael Del Rossi, Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. $10 a copy. I know they won't be disappointed. Also have a affirmative prayer ministry. I pray for daily, and I lay hands on it. I believe in the white light concept of praying and healing, and they can that work is done absolutely free on request and on a continuous basis. They can write to me at Michael Del Rossi, Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006, and I will write them back and will continuously on a regular basis work with them in terms of white light healing. So this is what we do, and thank you for allowing me to share that information.
I'm making changes in the programming, as I mentioned. At other times, there'll be more UFO shows in 2024, and we'll develop your show and start as quickly as possible. And I'm picking Sword and Sandal Cinema. Tomorrow we have Diana Montford, and we have Michael K. Waterman, a.k.a. Seton of Kemet, and they have a full hour to do their thing on the Clash of the Titans. And so I'm really looking forward to the evolution of those shows as well. Michael, I want to thank you. You're awesome. I'm honored to call you friend and to have you on this adventure with the podcast. And I look forward to our next conversation, my friend. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Same here. Thank you. I feel very blessed that we know each other, and please feel better.
Thank you so much, Michael. Be well.
Be well now.